All righty. If you're in your Bible, 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 through 24, Bible says, this is how we know who the children of God are. Take a look at that person to your right. Take a look at that person on your left. See, you can tell. You can tell if they're a child of God. And you can also tell who the children of the devil are. Take a look at that person on your right. Take a look at that person on your left. Yeah. See any horns there? No, we're not talking about horns, are we? It says, anyone who does not do what is right, anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. That's proof right there. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Hardly seems like a good reason. Amen? Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death, and anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, and let me read that again. This then is how, the Greek is very hard, by the way, in this translation right here. We're going to talk about this. This then is how we know we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask because, say because, would you?
Because,
there's a big because there. Because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are mighty and awesome and good. Lord, we thank you that we can indeed study the light and living in the light. We thank you that you are glorified among us, Lord. And that as we bring you glory, we know that we are indeed lined up on you. I pray this morning, Lord, as we work through this text, Lord, that you would be among us, guiding us, Lord, bringing comfort where there should be comfort and condemnation where there should be condemnation. Lord, that we might leave this place with a grip on you. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Well, it has been a long time. I'm going to do one little thing, because now it's starting to bug me. Yes. Now record it, and it's not so loud in here. We lost our microphone. By any chance, if somebody ended up with a little microphone-looking wireless thing, then you don't know what it is, and your kid just grabbed it because it looked like a toy, bring it back. Had that wireless thing for like 10 years, and now we're working for some other stuff. Oh, and if you have a cell phone, you could turn that off. Yeah, that would be glorious. All right. Talking about living in the light and making choices that please God, sometimes we can be a little confused. Amen? We can be a little bit concerned. I've told you about our fabulous project, the Carmen Ghia. You can see it is indeed painted and shiny now. It's got bumpers and lights and mirrors and all that kind of good stuff. Actually took it for a test drive yesterday, and Joe said, as I was leaving, Dad, I'm not coming to pick you up. I said, That's because he's had to come pick me up like three times in the Ghia. And but we got it painted. It was supposed to be done. And started working through the things. And none of the electrical was working. And I mean, to start debugging this whole electrical thing. And you get like, oh, man. There at one point, the headlight switch was bad. The wires were bad. And one of the headlights was bad. And I mean, to try and debug that when you got all these problems, it's like, Lord, am I making any progress here? You were going to change the light number four, remember, JJ? Am I making any progress here? And sometimes it just doesn't feel like you are on the right track. Amen? And so that is what John is talking about here. John is talking to his beloved, and they are getting a message from people that are coming and attacking from outside the church. Even John goes so far as to call them antichrists and say, you got it wrong. You got some serious issues. You have some serious problems. And God does not want you to live your life in insecurity. John says that you can know. You can know what's going on in your life, and you can even have confidence before God. Some people think, well, wait a minute. I don't know, that seems kind of arrogant. No, man. God wants you to be able to come running to him, not start running away. And that's why he says, we can know who the children of God are. You can know if you are a child of God. And you can know it based on what you did last week. I heard somebody say, uh-oh. See, you look at a mirror, God wants you to take a look at what you see. Because everybody else sees that, and he sees that. And sometimes what you're looking at is looking pretty good. Can I get a witness on that? And you know, you're doing good for the Lord, and you're pleasing the Lord. The devil's going to come up to you and say, oh, you got it all wrong. And he is going to try to work and undermine what should be confidence and lead you into insecurity so that as you think about approaching the Lord, you're timid and you're hesitant. And the Lord wants you to come running.
Amen.
You can know. You can know based on your actions. You don't have to live with a big question mark on your heart. How can you know? Love is proof. And that's what we're going to take a look at today. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's take a look. Looking for love. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. And this is the message of the Lord. It says that we go back to the beginning. We go back to the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. And Jesus talks about that. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God. Matthew chapter 22. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You can see that Jesus is referencing way back in the beginning of the Old Testament, that God set out the parameters for your confidence, for his children to minister and shine a light for him way back as he was forming a people. And that light that he wants and that truth that he wants, he's not looking for it to change. Amen? And so as we talk about from the beginning, love was there from the beginning. The Adam was given a job. In the Garden of Eden, he is supposed to take care of the Garden of Eden. My mom is a gardener, and she loves her garden. And she goes out there, and she works the dirt, and she waters it, and she just loves that. And Adam was put in the middle of the Garden of Eden to care for and nurture that garden and to nurture the earth. And then he was given Eve to come alongside of him. And to be his helpmate. And she is to love and care for him. Amen? See, love is there from the beginning. And Adam is just supposed to let her do his laundry. No. See, Adam is supposed to protect her. And Paul even tells us that a man should love his wife as he loves his own body. And he feeds and cares for it. And so what we see is in the garden, there was this picture of love. And John says that from the beginning, the message was to love one another. God wants you to love the people that are around you. God wants you to be able to care for the things around you. It was the message from the beginning, and it's still the message. And it's still a challenge. Amen? All right. Don't be a hater. Cain was a hater. Verses 12 and 13. Don't be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. Love was there from the beginning and hate was there from the beginning as well. There has always been a choice between good and evil. And that's what John is saying. What were you choosing last week? What were you doing last week? Because based on your choices, you can know if you've got any confidence or you have great concern. The choice between good and evil has always been there. Cain had that choice, and Cain chose evil. His behavior was evil. He hated his brother. And he hated his brother because they were righteous. He was righteous. Now, you know, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that don't like the church. Can I get a witness on that? You know what? And it's not when the church is kind that there's any hatred that is directed toward the church. You know, there's not a lot of people that hate the Salvation Army. Amen? Especially when you're in a flood. Especially when there's been a fire. Especially when there's been a problem. There's not a lot of people who really hate the Red Cross. Amen? When the church is doing kindness, people got no problem with the church. You know, you want to give me food, you want to give me rent, you want to pay my bills. Oh, I love the church. But it's when the church starts talking about righteousness that people start having a problem. Amen? Don't talk to me about adultery. Don't go there. Oh, no, don't get into my purse. Bring me food. Please don't make me come and get it. Bring it to my house if you would. But adultery, let's not. Oh, and homosexuality, let's. Don't go there. I've got my rights and I'm made the way I'm. Don't. Let's not go there. Don't go to abortion. Don't go there. And drugs and alcohol, hey, what I do in my house, that's my business. Don't go there. See, when you start standing for righteousness, the world has no problem with kindness, but the world does not want to be exposed for its greed. That's right. And bitterness and sin. Don't go there. It's kind of like you go to Thanksgiving. Let's not talk about politics. Let's not talk about religion. It's a nice day today. Hey, if you just want to talk about what kind of the weather, everybody will love you. Especially if you bring them food, and especially if they pay their bills. Amen? Amen? It is where righteousness comes in that the world will begin to hate you. I was thinking about how I could have you feel what the world feels to you. And now, I'll tell you what. If you had a week last week, and you weren't living in love, and you were hating, you know what? You probably got no concern, man. You would never have to worry about feeling this. But when you begin to live in the love of the Lord, and you begin to do things that the Lord would have you do, and you begin to speak things that the Lord would have you speak, people are going to respond. And they're not going to like it. And they're not going to like you. You want to know what that feels like? Right here. There are guys, they just hate the Raiders, right? Now, I've been a Raider fan since, I went to the Raiders game when I was little, like 4 years old on Thanksgiving Day. I remember, first one, my grandpa had season tickets. And I come down here and I am hated. Hate it. That's what the world will think about you. That's what the world will think about you. They just don't like you for what you stand for. Bible says, no, we're not going to go there, Mike, no. Oh, I missed a couple of things. All right. Finding confidence when you're surrounded by insecurity. Love will let you know. Verses 14 and 15. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. You can look back at last week and you can see if it was filled with love or it was filled with hate. And you can know because God wants you to know. Anyone who does not love remains in death, and anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Those are big words. That John is not joking here. Change is possible for you, and you will be able to see it. You will be able to see it in your life, and that change is going to happen in you will look like love. You will start doing nice things. Now, love does not make the change. Love does not make the change. Faith makes the change. All right? It's not like you got to love your way into the kingdom. No. Love is the target, but love is not the mechanism. The mechanism is faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that Jesus is God and raised him from the dead, that you will be saved. Amen. I think I misread that. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. When you make that choice, when you exercise that faith, you will be born again, and God will give you a new heart. And in that new heart is love. And after you do that, you cannot help but live differently. That's why if you are on track with God, you're going to look back at last week and you're going to see love. Jesus said, hey, you're going to have like springs of living water coming out of you. That comes from that new heart, that spirit that the Lord does in you. And people come around and go, give me some of that water. Give me some of that stuff. You can't do it with the old heart. Matthew chapter 5, 19 says, out of the heart comes evil thoughts. It's Jesus talking. That old heart that you got to get the new one, get that transformation happen. Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. You got no love coming out of the old heart. You're just ripping people off. Can I get a witness on that? See, there's a progression. Hate goes to murder. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. You're a hater, you're a murderer, and if you're a murderer, there's no eternal life for you. There is no heaven for you. There is this progression. So how you doing on your change? How'd you do last week? You got love or you got hate? Love does good. Hate does bad. Amen. How you doing? All right. Moving right along. Verses 16 to 18. This is how we know. This is how we know what love is. We look at it in Jesus. Amen? Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions, you know what that is? Fedia. That's money. That is stuff. That is food. That is resources. If anybody has material possessions and sees his brother in need, got a lot of need around here. Can I get a witness on that? And you know what that means? That's a lot of opportunity. What? To display that spring of living water that is welling up within you. And to share what the Lord has given you. You know what he said? How many tell your kids to share? How about, Claudia, you tell those little boys to share? You know, I had a little bat for Juan. Was it Juan? Juan's the oldest one? Jose. I was. And I had, it's a wiffle ball bat, right? And I give him this bat, man, and he is so happy. And then George or somebody goes, don't give him that bat. He's going to go hit his sister with it. And I go up to him and I said, don't hit your sister with that. And he said, no. I took that bat right away from him. He wasn't very happy at all. I tell you what, you got a new heart coming for that boy. We're working on that. If anyone has material possessions, sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us love with words, not with words or tongue, but with actions and truth. Love is easy to see. Love takes action. Love is on the move. God gives us a love, fills up your heart with a love that is a sacrificial kind of love. It will cost you something to love the people that is around you. Now, Maddie, you got that little boy. You need love given to him. But, see, God would have you start giving, spreading it out. Because we can give to our own. God wants us to spread. What? Oh, yeah. You don't have to leave. No, it's okay. I was just messing with you, Marlene. I know you're not leaving. James says, chapter 2, verse 18, I will show you my faith by what I do. I will show you my love by what I do. You'll be able to see it. He talks about, you can read it in chapter 2 of James. He's talking about all these guys saying they got all this belief and all this faith and all this love, and they aren't doing nothing. He said that kind of faith ain't going to get you anywhere. That's what John's talking about. You can tell the kind of faith you got. You can tell the kind of love that you've got. Because the kind of love that gets something done, that's the kind of love that God's looking for. Amen? Amen? That's not the love that gets you into heaven. Faith gets you into heaven. But when you got that faith that'll get you into heaven, you're going to have that love that spreads out on the people around you. Amen? So here's the question. Were you doing any spreading last week? We're spreading that out. Can you see that? Because I tell you what, you look back on last week and you see that stuff, man, you're feeling good. And God says, I want you to feel good. He says, I want the people around you feeling good. You'll be feeling good because you'll be following Christ. Christ set an example for us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. And we talk about this love, this agape love, this sacrificial love, that you should be making a sacrifice. You should be making a sacrifice for those around you. I can see some sacrifice this morning. Ed, would you stand up for a second? How many times have you missed a Chargers game in the last 5 years? Not one. I don't need to know the score, by the way. No, no, no. Don't be shouting out. Don't be looking at the score during church. But I'm telling you, that's a sacrifice. That is a sacrifice. Some of the guys are going, yeah, I know, that's a sacrifice. Ed's got it on tape, the other Ed. So don't show the score. Don't show the score. But hey, man, you know what? There's sacrifice that goes on all over the place. And as expected, our Savior, our leader, died on the cross. And people will come to you and say, oh, you're not going to do that anymore. He did it once. It's all done. No, no, no. It's an example that we should follow. Amen? That's right. Jesus got it done. We should get it done. So the question is, are you getting it done? You can tell. You'll see sacrifice. You'll see sacrifice having impact on the lives around you. You'll see change, and change is good. Amen. Dave, come on up here, would you? Is this still hot? Turn this on, JJ. Glory, hallelujah. You got that? Is it on? Turn me up. Turn me up. Is it muted? Muted. Help me, Mike. Stand up. Oh, am I hearing it? You hearing it? A little bit louder. There we go. David Ward, I want to let you guys know last night that we voted on this man at the board meeting and we have made him a member of this church. Amen? He first came around, I don't know, a year ago maybe, and would not come in the church. You can take that last slide and turn it down a little bit still because my voice is messed up. But he came around. He would not come in the church. Tarina, wonderful Tarina, would come, and she would pray for her hideous boyfriend who didn't have anything to do with the church and hated everybody and would just sit around and just literally beat his head against the wall. Literally. We're not joking here. And she left. She got so tired of everything and him and life and everything. She went to, what, Chicago or
Pennsylvania?
Hold that mic up.
She's in Pennsylvania.
She went to Pennsylvania. Go ahead and keep, there you go. Just keep it right up there. All right, she left. And so he had nothing left to go on, and you started coming around the church.
First for food.
First for food. Hey, food works, amen? Food is a hook for the book. You know somebody? Bring him to church and tell him about food. Amen? Amen. So then you started, and I remember he'd sit outside, and I've been walking. And I go, why? Because I got to be in shape for when these kids come on me, I'll be able to take them down, you know. And a lot of anger and bitterness wrapped up inside you, eh?
A lot. For about 50 years.
About 50 years. You didn't look that old. Well, I guess maybe it does. But so do I. You started coming to the church, and things started to change.
Yeah, my whole life changed. I lost everything. I mean, I lost my house, my whole sense of being on this planet. Made some friends, good friends, George, Angelo, Tommy.
Well, let's not get to the friends yet. When you first started coming, though, it was rough, right?
It was rough.
I mean, you were coming a little bit. You'd be here. It was just a little off. You lost your place, and you end up going down to St. Vincent de Paul. And that was a joyous place that they just opened their arms to you. That's not, I'm being facetious there. It was a struggle there. I mean, how many guys bunk in the room you sleep in?
250 guys.
250 guys, tough to sleep, lots of problems, a lot of former addicts, a lot of current addicts. So he has moved from the hood down to St. Vincent's, and the Lord has got you just in process. Amen?
Yes, it's been a process.
Amen. And so, I don't know, about 2 months ago, and you've been there 4 months.
4 months.
About 2 months ago, things really started to shift. I know you started really hooking up with George. You started going through some challenges there. You said, I can't live here. I can't stay here. I know I'm talking to you saying, hey, Lord has a process for you. He wants to get you through this to better times with Tarina, with a job, with all that stuff. And it began to catch gear. Uphill. It's always uphill. Amen? Now, you started working and taking care of Balthazar, doing in-home care services about 40, 50 hours a week. And that was just a little joyous ride too, right? See, you know what? The Lord will take you from challenge to challenge to challenge to challenge. Amen? And they're steeper and steeper and steeper and steeper. And so challenges came with that, but also you work through those challenges. And now, one thing with in-home care services, they don't pay you for a long time. So it's like 2 months of accrued salary. You're still waiting on it, but there will be enough when that happens for you to get your own place and possibly have Tarina come back and maybe do something special. Amen? Amen, amen. So, it starts off down, you're climbing, it's getting steeper and steeper and steeper, and there's been people around here whose love that they've given sacrificially to you has made a difference, and one of those people is George. How has George really reached out and just really impacted your life?
He's been there for me when I'm up, when I'm down, when I'm sad. Giving man.
Let you sleep on his couch.
Sleep on his couch.
Fed you at his house.
George only knew me maybe for a week, and I needed a place to stay. And he opened his door for me, and it was the week that I needed to get into St. Vincent de Paul. He's been there for me. I mean, he's closer to me than any man's ever been in my life, other than my father. Angelo is a great man, too.
But that's what it is. They love as family. And what I'm trying to say is that when you're loving like this, you can see it and other people can see it too. Amen? Thank you, Dave. Amen. All righty, all righty, all righty. We're good, right? That was good. Yeah. Talk about love you can see. We're talking about getting confidence from your choices. Confidence from your choices. This then. This what? All this display of love, all this love that you can see, this then is how we can know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His, God's, presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. Turn this mic down too, but I think I'm coming. You can get the wrong information. You can get the wrong information. John is dealing with, did you turn that down, bro? All right, watch out. It might be coming from outside. Oh, okay, that wasn't it. All right, you can get the wrong information. John is dealing with these people coming from outside the church, and they are saying, Angelo, you got no clue what you're doing. Ed, you got no clue what you're doing. Pastor Paul, you are serving a false gospel. Pastor Scott, you have no clue. What you really need is this secret knowledge that comes from heaven. And there are those that will come around you today and laugh at you and mock you and will say, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you have. You don't know who you're following. It is just a joke. And in that, it will get you to start questioning where you sit with the Lord. It will get you less than confident. Insecurity will rise up in your heart. And as you think about the Lord, you're not going to think about running towards Him. You're thinking about running away from Him. You're saying, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to meet the Lord today. Why? Because you got lies being sown in your life and you have all this insecurity that was going on. And John says, you don't have to live like that. Don't let these people lie to you. He says, your heart will testify. And your heart will condemn. And the question is who do you listen to? I don't know who to listen to, man. I think I'm doing good. I think I'm doing bad. And John says, scoreboard. Boys played better this week. Halftime, they were up, I think, 15 to 13. They ended up losing by two touchdowns. How do you know? Scoreboard. See, you can take a look at your life, and that life, your life is a scoreboard on whether or not you're doing good or you're doing evil. And you can go to the Lord and say, Lord, this looks good. And guess what? He'll let you know if it's good or not. Holy Spirit comes. He's going to guide you into truth and convict the world of sin. Yes. So if you've got some condemnation that is rolling through your heart, it might be well deserved. If it is, let's make some changes. Amen? Amen. I'll tell you what. Get together with me, get together with some of the folks that are here, and talk about what you did last week. We'll tell you whether or not you should be feeling good or not. Amen? Hey, I think that noise is coming from outside, guys. I'm pretty sure it is. Take a look at your life. What are you doing? Are you doing evil or are you doing good? If you see love flowing, you will find confidence. You'll know that you're lined up on God. And that's what that talks about there. Talking about our hearts being lined up on God. Am I lined up on God or not? Do I have confidence or not? Because God doesn't want you living in insecurity. He wants you to know that you can come running and find answers. And sometimes the answers that you're going to get aren't the answers that you're looking for. Amen? Sometimes the answers you're going to get are you've got to change some things that are going on. Jesus said that there is a wide road that leads to destruction. And there's a lot of people on it. And this letter, this message that we are taking a look at, this word of God is not going to be comforting for many people. Maybe for you. Maybe you come in here today thinking, I have got some serious issues going on in my life. Well, we can deal with that today. And we'll come back to that in a minute. Amen? Let's continue on. We can live in confidence. If you should be living in confidence, you can live in confidence. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask. Does that not sound good? I'll tell you what, you're living in love and you have got resources flowing out from you to the people in need around you. God has got no problem filling up your pocket. Amen? And so many people just want God, fill up my pocket for me. That doesn't really roll. Even James says, hey, man, you ask God, you don't, he says, you ask because you don't receive, and you don't receive because you don't ask, and when you ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives. So you say, hey, fill it up, Lord, and he just says, what, are you joking? We have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask because we obey His commands and do what. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. Those who obey His commands live in Him, and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit that He gave us. Amen? You can live in confidence. When your heart is right, you're going to have confidence. You'll have confidence before God. It's okay to be confident before God. Writer of Hebrews talks about it. He says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence, say that word confidence, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, you're going right into the throne room of God. By a new and living way, open us through the curtain that is His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God. Let's not run away. You got a problem and you want to work it out? He will work it out. Amen? It says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Man, you had a good week last week. You can just run into the presence of God. I had to think, I was teaching the youth on Wednesday night. It was so funny. Julie Camacho let her class out, and her class is 6 boys, ages 3 and 4. And they all had their little sheets of like little homework or whatever, a little craft thing, right? And Lisa's teaching her class, and the ladies are sitting on the back concrete table over there, and those boys came out like a herd of buffalo. And they are running just as happy as can be with their crafts, running to mama, right? Just, look at this, mom. Look at this, mom. And that's what God wants you doing with Him, with full assurance of faith and confidence, knowing that we are on the right track, that I am looking, Lord, I am not perfect. He's not saying I'm looking, not looking for perfection, but what I am looking for is stewards of my love. I'll fill you up and you pour it out on those around you. Amen. You can be confident of that. God does not want you worried about lies coming. Because if you're doing that, believe me, the enemy is coming saying, Angelo, you're a liar. You're a fake. You're just making believe. And the Lord says, son, you are so good. I love you so much. I'm giving you my love. He says, continue on. And that's the message He has, because He wants you living in confidence. That's right. And how can you do it? Love is proof. Yes. So how you doing? Coming to the presence of God, you rejoice or are you afraid? Are you feeling good? Or are you feeling guilty? Confident or insecure? Lisa, you want to come up and play? So you take a look at last week. How you doing? Love is proof. Hate is also proof. You might look back. I got to imagine George is feeling pretty good. Amen? If we had somebody up here and talk good about you, you'd be going, woohoo. Yeah, I'm feeling good. Some of you are feeling that. And you know the Lord is saying, well done, good and faithful servant. It's uphill. Next week is going to be harder. You know, there's more love, man. There's a lot of need out there. Amen. You know, and I talked about need. I talked about being surrounded by need. I talked about, hey, if somebody asks for money, send them to me. Because realistically, the problems that we've got around here are not going to be solved by $5. We have got generational issues that you're going to fix them. You're going to have to dive in, and you're going to have to get deep, and it's going to be ugly and muddy and nasty. But Jesus hung on a cross. Amen? And so just don't, hey, $5 and I'm done. No, man. Loving your brother who has a need. You can turn up that last slide now so you can get that guitar. Loving your brother because he has a need is more than $5. It makes an investment. It makes a sacrifice. Amen? Amen? So if you're feeling good, feel good. It's going to get harder, folks. It's going to get harder. Amen? Amen. Yes. Say it with me. It's going to get harder. Yes, yes, yes. But maybe you are sitting here this morning and confidence is not what you are feeling. But you hear Dave talking and you are just going, I wish somebody would do that for me. Lord, I got no confidence. I got nothing but condemnation. I look back at my week last week and it was not good. I look back and I was doing bad. Lord, I didn't even try to do good. Lord, I got no room for good. I got that old heart that needs to be transformed. And Lord, I don't want it anymore. I want to be like Dave. I want to be climbing uphill. I want to see people investing in me, and I want to see a change. And nobody's looking around, but the Lord God is speaking right to your heart this morning, saying, child, what you're feeling is condemnation. You are on the wide road. You are headed to hell. You did bad because that's what you do. You got no ability to do good. And you need to be transformed in your very existence. And I hung on a cross for you. I died so that you could have new life. I died so that you could have a new heart. And I'll put my spirit in you. And you'll start living that tough life that Dave was talking about. And nobody's looking around right now. But the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking right to your heart. And he is saying, time to make a change. And you're ready. And he's saying, I'll change you if you let me. And you would just say right now, with an upraised hand, say, Lord, I want to change. Lord, here am I. I hear your voice. I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to be transformed in my very existence. I see your hand right back there. I see these hands over here. You can put them down. Here, yes, and there, and there. Talking about life change right now. I see that hand. I want to be new. I see your hand, bro. You can put it down. Anybody else? God speaking to your heart. Anybody else? Right there. We're going to stand. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. And I'm going to tell the worship team when they can come. Not quite yet. But I'm going to come over here and I'm going to pray. And I prayed with Lydia for her dad earlier. He's sick in the hospital. Maybe you need a healing touch. You can come up and pray. But maybe you put your hand up. I want you to come up. And nobody's going to know if your dad's in the hospital. Or you're just coming up. But we're going to pray. And we're going to sing. No, you're fine right there. And we're going to see what God's going to do. Amen? So let's stand. We're going to sing a song. Worship team, you guys can come.